Sunday Morning's Thoroughbred Magazine. For the next hour, we're talking horses. Here's Joe McKinnon.
Good morning, great to have your company for Talking Horses. With the spotlight shifting to Queensland for the carnival, we discuss the success of one of the state's resident stallions, Better Than Ready. He's producing loads of winners and will stand for an increased fee this season. We'll also catch up with the latest news out of Newgate Farm with Minari returning to their roster. And they've also got some high-class stock entered in the Magic Millions broodmare sale. And something a bit different for you this morning, we'll talk camp drafting. It's the fastest growing horse sport in Australia and one of only three official Australian sports, the others being AFL and polo cross. This weekend, the Gold Buckle World Championship camp draft was staged at Willinga Park on the New South Wales south coast. I caught up with the winner of the event, the legend Pete Comiskey. That's coming up later on the show. But first, we lost a big name broodmare during the week, Legally Bay. Her owner, Chris Barham, is with us this morning.
RSN 927's Talking Horses with Joe McKinnon.
Sad news this week with Sejan Hostud announcing the passing of the outstanding broodmare Legally Bay. She died on Wednesday at the age of 18. A Group 3 winner by Snippets, Legally Bay went to start in 2005. She produced 9 named foals, 7 of which raced, for 6 winners, headed by multiple Group 1 winner and Royal Ascot hero Merchant Navy, Group 2 winner Jolie Bay, and the stakes placed Zara Bay. She will be sadly missed by her owners Chris and Jane Barham, and Chris has been kind enough to join us on the program this morning. Commiserations to you, Chris, a sad loss.
Thanks, Joe. Yeah, Jane and I are quite profoundly sad this week, for obvious reasons. She's been an integral part of the family and changed our lives over the last 10, 15 years.
She was more than a horse to you, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was. We came into the horse game without any great knowledge of the industry at all. And Ron Gilbert, friend of ours up here, basically said it would be a good idea for us to investigate getting into the thoroughbred industry and help us along. And she was the first horse we ever bought. And through her, I just can't imagine how our lives would have been without her. We've got to meet some amazing people and travelled all over the world, made some extraordinary friends, and really it all started with her.
Yeah, she enabled you to dream, as you said in a Twitter comment during the week, and obviously you're hoping the dream will live on, and it will, through her progeny.
Absolutely. Merchant Navy, and you know, who knows, some of the cults coming along behind him, you wouldn't know. But and the family page, you know, things I never understood historically, like just her catalogue page and that family, she's been quite influential and will continue to be in the future, no doubt, yeah.
As far as the results she produced on the racetrack go, Chris, for you, what was the most satisfying of those?
Funnily enough, we had never really been racing, and we missed her first race, where she won by 10 lengths at Canterbury in a night meeting, and that put her into her first real race, which was the Silver Slip that she ran third. And we were just excited to get to the races. I mean, the big deal was to get to a race in Sydney on a Saturday, you know, and then to actually place in a race. That was extraordinarily satisfying. And we were just having fun. It was a journey that we had no great ambitions, but she kept pushing hard. And I guess from there, she won the Sweet Embrace, and we jokingly said, you know, we're buying a horse to get into the Golden Slipper, and there she was, the favourite, first horse we'd ever bought. Unfortunately, John Laws tipped her as his favourite, which is obviously the Kiss of Death. So she ran fifth in the Slipper. And big a day as that was, I think, it was the the Silver Slipper, or maybe even the Oakley Plate. She got, you know, she came around the corner at Caulfield, kind of leading the race, and Fastnet Rock just flattened her, and she picked herself up almost literally off the ground, chased him down to run third. And you could just see the toughness in her. You know, she was a little girl. You know, Ron Duffy called her a pit pony, but which I, we had a conversation to laugh about just recently at the English Sales, at the Easter Sales, and she certainly proved that, you know, inside her there was a heart bigger than her.
And Peter O'Brien from Sedge & Ho this week in the tribute to her described her as a beautifully unique character and very much treasured by not only yourselves but many on the farm. What were some of her quirks as a broodmare?
Well, I guess the guys there used to dread putting her in the crush to peg test her, or she just did not like, she was claustrophobic. So ultimately they learned to kind of keep her out in the field in the paddock and examine her out there, but put her in a crush, and she reverted back to being a very temperamental, unique, hormonal female, if I can say that nicely. And her, you know, she just loved being on her own. You know, she was happiest just out in the middle of a paddock doing her own thing. She rarely made friends. You know, Mackayvie Diva, when she was down at Mackayvie, you know, they were in a paddock together and they were pretty good mates. And Wedgetail Eagle is probably the only other mare that's ever could get within about 8 feet of her. So she was unique in that she didn't need anything. She just gave everything she could, knew what her job was, happy to just be over on her own. Yeah, it wasn't... that just did everything, you know, she's what you wanted in a mare, you know, she did everything you asked her to do with no fuss.
Hmm. You and your wife, Jane, managed to get fairly close to her. I did see on the internet this week a photo published of you both holding her quite closely. how was that moment?
Well, she knew us. She, you know, she was... And she knew Peter and the guys on the farm. Like, she knew them and she put up with us. But when she'd had enough, she'd just walk away and you let her go. It wasn't... You obeyed her rules. It was all about what she would let you do. You know, there was no... If she didn't want to do it, she just got put on the sidelines and we waited till she was ready to do what she needed to do or wanted to do. If it wasn't today, then it was always tomorrow. That was her attitude. And it wasn't a bad... few traits to her. She, and like I said, you know, she did her job. You know, she, as a race mare, she raced. That's what she did. And she bred, she produced the best she could. You know, gave everything she could to it.
She did indeed, as we ran through earlier in the interview, the honour roll of horses that she produced. What would you say, as a broodmare, was her greatest achievement on the track?
Well, you know, obvious, you know, she took us to Royal Ascot. I mean, there's not many breeders. If I revert it back, I can remember... Before we'd even bought her, one of my goals was to breed, own, and race, you know, a champion colt, like any breeder. And she allowed that dream to come true. You know, we got to meet the Queen. I mean, that doesn't come much higher than that. And that was just the most amazing day because we'd already won. You know, like, we'd got to the UK, you know, we'd sold a horse, everything else was a bonus. And then to actually win, and to win, you know, like he did, same thing, you know, just pushed to the line, knew where it was and won. And you may have seen some of the footage, but the ecstasy in the Australians, you know, in that parade, in the mounting yard was just, like, I can feel the goosebumps again now. Just extraordinary feeling.
Mm. Amazing. Great memories she's provided you with. And her last foal was a yearling colt by Fastnet Rock, which was sold by Sedge & Ho at Inglis Easter for $2.3 million. And she's got a two-year-old colt by Fastnet Rock by the name of Tungsten Bay that was retained to race and is in work with Team Hawks.
Correct. Yeah. So the we called the yearling M2, obviously in relation to his brother, and he's just the most gorgeous, gorgeous looking colt. Everything you could, you know, he ticks every box you could imagine. He's going to be trained by Kieran Maher again, and as Jane says, you know, who knows where the dream goes from here, you know, the possibilities with an unraced two-year-old colt are endless. And Tungsten is actually by All Too Hard, and Team Hawks do have him, John and the boys, and they are very fond of him. He's being nurtured along quietly. He'll race. He probably won't get to the track until he's a three-year-old, which is the All Too Hards, and there's no sense in pushing him for the sake of pushing him. So quite happy to have, you know, John is just the master of understanding colts, looking after this guy.
Mm. And she'll rest at Sedge & Ho and lie beside other champions there, and that's a lovely tribute to her that she deserves.
It's extraordinary. She'll be beside Circus Gold and, you know, live basically look out over the farm. You know, she's up on the hill, the most amazing farm too, and you know, like it's probably the icing on the cake. I mean, she's lived on some of the most amazing farms, from Woodlands and Mackaybee and Coolmore, and to finish her days at Sedge & Ho, to be honoured by the farm and Peter and, you know, the Maloneys to allow that, you know, her to be buried up there is the most touching thing. Yeah.
Mm. Peter was very upset this week by her passing too.
Well, you know, she changed his life. You know, she changed his life. You know, he rode, you know, her offspring every which, and he's such a horseman, as you know. You know, he just loves them. They're his kids, and you know, it's just sad. It's just a very sad couple of days. But as we talk, you know, each evening and reminisce, you know, and start to laugh again. You know, you remember that you've got to be grateful too. You've got to be grateful. So, yeah.
Well, her legacy will certainly live on for a long time.
Yes, she will. She's, you get a bit emotional towards the end there. No, she's, her offspring, you know, merchant, and who knows what these other colts will do, and her page and all her other babies, you know, they're producing, and it's a running family, and, you know, the catalogue will just keep growing into the future.
Chris, thanks for sharing the memories of Legally Bay with us on the program this morning, and you enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
Thank you. Thanks, Jo. Thank you. Bye now.
That's Chris Barham, who was the owner, along with his wife Jane, of Legally Bay, a great broodmare passing away on Wednesday.
RSN 927's Talking Horses with Joe McKinnon. The results that matter. The Talking Horses racing run-through.
Racing at headquarters yesterday, Flemington, and we opened the program with the Hugh Bowman Hall of Fame trophy for two-year-olds run over 1,400 metres. It was won by Independent Road. He's a two-year-old gelding by declaration of war out of a Malibu Moon mare, Malibu Road. Independent Road is related to winners Malibu Affair, Malibu Rain and Pacific Coast, and was bought at the 2018 Magic Millions Gold Coast yearling sales out of Book 2 for $50,000. Race 2, the Brent Thompson Hall of Fame Benchmark 84 over 1,400 metres. That was won by David Brydock's three-year-old filly, Kings Brook. She's a daughter of Hinchinbrook out of a commands mare, Ordinance, and is related to a winner, Guilty as Charged. The third event on the program, the Pat Lawler Hall of Fame Trophy over 1,000 metres, won by Moon Lover. This is a five-year-old mare by I Love This City, out of a Danehill mare, Moon Dreamer, and he's related to winners LVR, Philly Buster and Sing Surratt. Race four on the program at Flemington yesterday was the Hallmark Hall of Fame Trophy over 1,400 metres, the winner of that John Sadler's Big Night Out. A three-year-old gelding by Lope de Vega out of an Artie Schillermare, Big Chill. Big Night Out is related to a winner, Freeze Over, and was sold at the 2017 English Premier Yearling Sales for $155,000. Race 5 on the card was a benchmark 78 race over 1,400 metres. It was won by Be Good to Your Mother. Too right. It's a four-year-old gelding by My Boy Charlie out of a Karpstad mare, Lady of Helena, and is related to winners Don't Tell Linda, Lady Jinx and Ready for Shore. Race 6 at Flemington was the So You Think Hall of Fame benchmark 78 over 1,600 metres. Robbie Griffith's Fidelia Too Good, a three-year-old filly by Not a Single Doubt, out of an Encosta Delago mare, Fidel. Fidelia is related to winners Dane Delago, Fidel's Choice, Little Indian, Lost Faith and Roundabout. The seventh event on the program, Matt Kamani's Declares War Successful, a three-year-old gelding by Declaration of War, out of an Encosta Delago mare, Christiva. His horse was sold through the Magic Millions Gold Coast yearling sales in 2017 for $62,000. Race 8, the John Maher Hall of Fame handicap over 1,400 metres. Archie Alexander's five-year-old mare, Spanahead, the winner. She's a daughter of Helmets, out of a Spartacus mare, Classic Chevron. Spanahead is related to winners Von Classic Hero and Wanna Be Good. And race 9, the final event at Flemington yesterday, was the Vaux Rogue Hall of Fame trophy over 2,000 metres. Mantastic, the winner. Trained by Chris Waller, a five-year-old gelding by Fastnet Rock, out of a Galileo mare, Foreign Legionary. The Queensland Racing Carnival is now in full swing. They went round at Doomben yesterday and we had a number of black type races. The third event was a listed affair over 1,200 metres, the Bill Carter Stakes. It was won by Tony Gollins, Perudo, a two-year-old filly by Spirit of Boom out of a Johannesburg mare, Good Looking Gambler. Perudo is related to winners Excalibrator, Red Sun and The Hustler and was sold for $320,000 at the 2018 Magic Millions Gold Coast yearling sales. The listed Bright Shadow Stakes over 1,200 metres, won by Snowden Racing's Quillista, a five-year-old mare by Scandal Keeper, out of a Surtee mare Brocky's Ace. Quillista is related to winners Boutique, Brocky's Deal and Peter Perfect. The listed Chief De Beers Stakes over 1,110 metres, won by Isaurian, a four-year-old entire by Exceed and Excel out of an elusive quality mare, Byzantine. It's related to winners Nemrod and Otterman. The Group 3 BRC Sprint run over 1,350 metres. It was won by Tyzone, a five-year-old gelding by Written Tycoon out of a Hussanay mare, Resonette. Tyzone is related to winners Five Stars, Grand Zone, Rockets and was entered for the 2015 English Premier yearling sales but was withdrawn from sale there. The Group 1 Doomben Cup over 2,000 metres went the way of Canedna, a five-year-old mare by Not a Single Doubt out of a Falbrav mare, Miss Dodwell. Canedna is related to winners Full of Beans, Kaviki, Spill the Beans and Standout and was a bargain buy at the 2015 English Premier yearling sales, selling there for $80,000. The Group 2 Magic Millions, the Roses, run over 2,000 metres, victory going to Atana. Another win for the Mar Eustace team. A three-year-old filly by Seamus Award out of an Encosta Delago mare, Pink Cirrus. Atana is related to winners Echo Gal, Swaffham Bullbeck. And was sold at the Magic Millions Gold Coast yearling sales in 2017 for $400,000. A big day at Morfettville yesterday. We opened the program with a Group 3 run over 1,200 metres. Won by Little Contra, a two-year-old filly by Corrupt out of a Keltrice mare, Little Cashy. Little Contra related to winners Cashed, MBC Lil and Flash Cash. And it was a $110,000 buy at the 2018 Magic Millions Adelaide yearling sales. The listed Centuria Stakes run over 2,024 metres. Victory went to Clearly, a five-year-old mare by Invincible Spirit, out of a pivotal mare Concordia. Clearly is related to a winner Polarisation. The Group 3 Queen's Cup over 2,500 metres, and the Hayes Dabernig team produced the winner of that, Valak, a seven-year-old gelding by Dark Angel, out of a Dane Hill mare, Polished Gem. The South Australian Classic over 2,500 metres at Group 3, that was won by Andrew Noblet's Moore Gate, a three-year-old filly by Fiorente, out of a Blackfriars mare, Linquistor. Related to winners, including Little Lingy. The Group 3 R.A. Lee Stakes over 1,600 metres. Another win for the Hayes Dabernig team, this time with Fastnet Tempest, a six-year-old gelding by Fastnet Rock, out of a Be My Guest mare, Dame Blanche. The Group 3 Proud Miss Stakes over 1,200 metres was won by Simon Miller's filly Lady Cosmology. She's a daughter of Universal Ruler, out of a Galileo mare, Outspoken Lady, and is related to a winner, Outspoken Duke. The Group 1 Goodwood over 1,200 metres, and Tony McAvoy's four-year-old gelding Dispatch was the winner. He's a son of Written Tycoon, out of a Fazliev mare, Zocoletta. Dispatch is related to winners Dialetta and Trigger Man, and was sold at the 2016 Magic Millions Adelaide yearling sales for $195,000.
The Talking Horses, winner of the week.
Then Zalmona, still Frostbite. He's saving ground through on the inside from Casino Wizard. Iconoclasm still well back with Booker. The front runner, Dispatch, led Valor Road. Cool Passion. Sprite's getting right up near the inside. Jamaican Rain deeper with Heart Empire. The leader still Dispatch. Sprite was late on the inside, but Dispatch in front. Behemoth flying. Dispatch in front. Dispatch wins the Goodwood. Just lasted for McAvoy. Wins narrowly from Behemoth, a massive run. Thirds between Sprite and Heart Empire. Then Cool Passion, Valor Road, Innkeeper, Casino Wizard, I Am Someone, Iconoclasm, Booker, Malibu Style, Jamaican Rain, Steel Frost, Keytra, and Zalmona.
Dispatch winning yesterday's Group 1 Goodwood at Morfettville. He's the seventh Group 1 winner for Victorian-based stallion Written Tycoon. It was his fourth consecutive win, that is for Dispatch, who advances his record now to seven wins and a third, with career earnings sitting just under $1 million. It's an interesting story behind him. He's had three suspensions and two warnings because of his barrier manners. Tony McAvoy praised South Australian authorities for the way Dispatch was treated at the barriers yesterday. He's a horse that was pinhooked by Barrymore Studs Paul and Amanda Thompson for $40,000 out of the Woodside Park draft at the 2015 National Weanling Sales Select Session. The son of Written Tycoon was then consigned by Barrymore Stud to the 2016 Adelaide yearling sales, where it's knocked down to McAvoy Mitchell Racing for $195,000. The fourth foal and third winner out of the three-time Sydney winner Zocoletta, who is a daughter of the smart race mare Vita, who won the Group 3 AJC Fernhill Handicap and the listed Bayleu Handicap. Zocoletta died in March 2015 and Dispatch is her final foal. He, of course, is the seventh Group 1 winner for Written Tycoon. He'll be covering at a fee of $110,000 at Woodside Park this spring.
RSN 927's Talking Horses with Joe McKinnon. RSN 927's Talking Horses with Joe McKinnon.
Welcome back to the program. It's been an amazing season for Lyndhurst Stud's exciting young sire, Better Than Ready. He produced his 17th first crop winner on Wednesday at the Sunshine Coast, a horse by the name of Ready to Roam. Jeff Kruger from Lyndhurst Stud is joining us on the program this morning. Jeff, this stallion is flying.
Hi, Joe. No, he's going particularly well. I would never have thought this time last year that he'd be leading the national table for individual winners on the two-year-old board. From start to now, so he's got a couple of stallions closing in on him, stallions that have got a lot bigger numbers on the ground. So I think it'll be a real feather in his cap if he can hold them off.
Yeah, and he's going to stand this season for an increased fee of $33,000. That's coming off at $9,000 for which he stood last season. But with all that success that he's enjoyed, the markup is justified.
Yes, it is a significant markup, but based on the inquiry we had several months ago, particularly from studs in the Hunter Valley, we weren't particularly worried. And then he followed that up with not long after we announced the fee, he followed it up with another stakes winner in Brisbane, a horse called Jagged Edge. So he started so well, and here in Brisbane, each time there's a stakes race, he has a runner, so it's quite justified.
Mm. You mentioned the success has somewhat surprised you, and I would say pleasantly. I mean, what are you putting this down to? I mean, the books of mares that he's attracted, how many did he cover last season, and how's it shaping up for this year?
First three seasons of study, he averaged 132 mares each season. As we went along, the fourth year, they were a much better quality of mare. Even though he hadn't had a runner, the signs were there that they'd sold well. They got into the right hands, and they started they started trialing well before the season started. So all the signs were there to indicate that he'd make a good start.
What was the book like last season?
Last season, he covered 236 mares. It was probably 50 more than we expected, but he's a very fertile horse, and he actually had all the mares covered before December 1, and we spent December just mopping up the tail, so to speak.
Mm. And what about this season? What sort of numbers are you expecting, especially in the wake of the continued success?
For us, it's more about longevity. We want to keep his numbers under 200. We have to bear in mind that off 236 mares last season, there's going to be a good number of free returns. So we have to keep that in mind as well. So we're looking to keep his number under 200. We're well oversubscribed now. We'll have to sort through our mares that have been on our inquiries, and unfortunately we'll have to turn some away. It's a good position to be in. It's certainly one that I haven't been in one before, in that position before.
He's becoming a great flag bearer for the Queensland breeding industry.
Yes, he's following on from the Spirit of Boom hype the previous year, and of course this year the Golden Slipper winner Kiyomichi, her stallion stood last season in Queensland, and Dali have just announced two new stallions for Queensland, so things are looking well.
And what of this winner, Ready to Roam, that he produced on Wednesday? It's trained by Tony Gollan and ran third in a $500,000 race and was overdue for the win during the week. A tenacious sort of a horse. What's the plan or the wrap from the stable on it?
Well, firstly, I think it's from a Danehill mare, and Better Than Ready covered two Danehill mares in his initial season, and both of them have come out winners of the 17. The other one's a horse called Radetzky. Ready to Roam, he showed a good bit of promise in his early trials, but Tony Gollan didn't produce him until later in the season, and I think he was placed, and then he went into the Duel as a place getter, and it was a heavy 10 that day. So that was one of the remarkable things about the stallion thus far. He had five runners in that Duel race, of which there were 12. And going back to January, he had the joke around the sale complex in January was that he had more runners in the race than he had in the catalogue. He had two horses in the catalogue and four runners in the race.
Amazing. What's he like around the farm? He's a lovely type of horse, Jeff, a dark brown, almost black with the two white socks and a nice white blaze down his face. What's his character like?
Oh, he's got a little bit of a feisty character. He used to have that on race day as well. I can remember going to the races and he'd normally have two handlers. When he arrived at Lyndhurst, I think the float driver said, "Good luck with this fella." A lot of stallions can be a bit feisty, and that's probably the best word to describe him. But he knows his job; he does it well, and he always parades well. And there's nothing wrong with it. Nothing bad with a little bit of spirit, I guess.
Exactly right, as long as they show it across the finish line, Jeff. So Better Than Ready in the upcoming sales has 12 lots at the Magic Millions Gold Coast National Weanling Sale, one lot at the Magic Millions Gold Coast National Broodmare Sale, and in the National Yearling Sale, seven lots entered.
Yes, I think there's more than one mare carrying to Better Than Ready. There's quite a number of them. But yes, the other numbers are right. There's the weanlings kick off on Wednesday, and whilst I don't have one in my draft, there's certainly some nice foals here on the ground.
With all these results, you'd be expecting buyers to rally for them.
Yes, yeah, so I'm expecting another winner tomorrow. I think he's there's one horse running tomorrow that I think will he'll go close. He's already been placed in Brisbane, and he's running in a maiden in Toowoomba. So yes, we need to keep them ticking over to keep ahead of Deep Field, who's closing in on us.
Exactly. Thanks for joining us on the program this morning, Jeff, and all the best of luck for the sales this week.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you.
That's Jeff Kruger from Lyndhurst Stud. They stand the very successful young sire Better Than Ready, which keeps producing winners.
RSN 927's Talking Horses with Joe McKinnon.
Bruce Slade from Newgate Farm is our next guest on Talking Horses. How are you this morning, Bruce?
Yeah, good, thank you, Joe. Very well. Up on the Gold Coast for the Magic Millions breeding stock sales over the next couple of weeks. So, yeah, enjoying ourselves very much.
And that's the subject we'll talk about first. A lovely consignment of mares you've got going through that sale.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. Listen, we did everything from even changing our name to Newgate Consignment for the sale for the first time. Just really worked hard on targeting nice mares to put forward in the marketplace. Sort of more the top end mares, the top end of the market, the top 25% of the market across the board, across the globe, has been so strong. So we really targeted those mares in the top quarter in terms of their profiles and broodmare prospects. And you know, we've been just so grateful to the people that have supported us and backed us to sell their mares on their behalf. We've ended up with over 70 mares for this Gold Coast broodmare sales. It's a big job, but there's a lot of nice prospects and good quality stuff in there. So hopefully it'll be a real success.
Yeah, 72 mares, quite a remarkable group. And it includes the Group 1 VRC Meyer Classic winner and winner of over $1.5 million in prize money, I Am A Star.
Yeah, you know, and huge thanks to Matthew Samblong for entrusting her with us. You know, definitely the most, the best credentialed daughter of I'm Invincible to ever be offered at auction. A group winner at 2, 3, 4, and 5. A group 2 winner twice this season alone. And to back that all up, Joe, she's a really athletic, pretty type. I think people are going to be really impressed when they see her in the flesh. You can really see why she could gallop. And she's from the big family, you know. She's from a sire-making family.
And you've really marketed these mares well. Their results and their reputations help sell them, of course. But to complement that, you've also compiled a significant amount of information via the sales and video passports to aid potential purchasers.
Yeah, 100%. And our marketing manager, Leanna Packard, worked extremely hard to put those all together and done a superb job, I think. I mean, we obviously took the idea from Elite Sales in America, who do a very similar thing with passports, and market their mares very well in the US. And we basically, Henry's very good friends with Brad Wiseboard and the team there, so they allowed us to use some of their IP. And basically we've just done what they've done. And I think, you know, it really gives you a really good in-depth look at the pedigree. So not only what's on the page, but what's coming through, you know, foals coming through from the different fillies in the family. Real in-depth look at their race record through analysis by Daniel O'Sullivan, who's a terrific form judge, and just gives you real insight into the quality of performances and where exactly their best winning distance may have been, whether they've got some future racing prospects or racing in them. We give pretty much mock-up programs of where you might target them the next racing season if they've got racing upside. And then just, the videos are so good, Joe, just because they recap their big wins. I mean, it's pretty easy to forget sometimes how good these mares were or some of their better performances when it's 1, 2, 3 years ago. So just to relive those moments and relive those wins and see who they beat, you know, it's always you know, allows you to reappreciate how good and how talented they were.
Absolutely. And in stallion news for Newgate, well, firstly, Deep Field continues to go from strength to strength. He produced his 15th winner during the week at Wyong.
Yeah, it's causing us a real headache, Joe. in a very good way. Like, obviously, we stood him at an advertised fee of 40,000 plus GST this year. And just this week, in fact, we've been calling people to let them know that basically, you know, they can send a mare, but they can't send four as they would like. And that's always a hard conversation to have. But essentially, we've had to turn away three quarters of the applications for them just because, you know, we really don't want to cover more than 199 mares this season. We just want to sort of look after him for the long term. So that gives you an idea of how many applications he had, how much demand he's had. I think, you know, once a serious part of the season has kicked in from the 1st of March, you know, the autumn and the biggest, stronger two-year-olds start rolling out, he's just gone from strength to strength. You know, he's had the 15 winners. He's two behind third of the Rennie. So we're trying to chase him down, which is a bit of an exciting race for us. Obviously, from the prize money point of view, we won't get past Sidestep, who's done a great job and produced a slip winner in his first crop. But I suppose 15 winners, six stakes horses, and a couple more months in the season to go, we're very excited about his prospects. You know, just given where Northern Meteor was at the same stage, he's probably tracking alongside his own champion Sire. So gee, I hope he can be the next Northern Meteor for us.
And Minari, interesting news there that he'll be returning to breeding duties.
Yeah, listen, just an amazing talent, Joe, on the racetrack, obviously, and we just want to do everything we can to give him an opportunity to pass on some of that freakish speed he's got. It was an interesting thing last season. The way he retired to start wasn't done in sort of what we'd call normal circumstances. You know, you remember he was going towards the Everest and hurt himself and therefore was retired 2 days before the start of the breeding season. So he sort of arrived at the farm and 48 hours later was asked to cover a commercial book of mares and wasn't given that time to let down. So what we found was, you know, he got, it was 12 or 13 out of his first 50-odd in foal, which obviously was below normal limits. He then had a bit of a, you know, had that 10, 15 mares, we didn't get a mare in foal. And then he had about a week off just to let down and restock. And John North, one of the shareholders in Minari, decided, I'll off in a few mares and see what happens. Just have a crack, because there might be a bit of scarcity value around them. And his last five mares all went in foal. Bang, 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 bang. So there is a bit of a light there, a light at the end of the tunnel that we just feel if we can just give him the 3 months leading into the season to let down, we'll limit them to one or two a day, depending on what our collection shows and what the expert advice says. And, you know, there's a feeling there that if we let him let down and we look after him in terms of his number of mares covered each day, that he might be able to bounce back to somewhere near normal terms. And if we can do that, well, that'll be just a great thing for the industry and a great thing for the farm and a great thing for his shareholders.
Yeah, absolutely. Very interesting story there. Bruce, thanks for joining us on the show this morning and good luck for a busy week on the Gold Coast.
Thank you for having me, Joe. All the best.
We switch stride now on Talking Horses and focus on the fastest growing horse sport in Australia, camp drafting, which now has over 16,500 registered members around the country. Yesterday, Wallinga Park on the New South Wales South Coast played host to the richest camp drafting event on the calendar for the year, with just under $300,000 in prize money on offer. And the highlight was the Gold Buckle World Championship camp draft. It was won by an icon of the sport who won the event last year as well, Pete Comiskey. I had the pleasure of catching up with him shortly after the win. Congratulations, Pete. An extraordinary achievement to win your second Wallinga Park Gold Buckle World Championship camp draft. You won the inaugural event here last year and it went right down to the wire this time.
It did, Joe. Yeah, no, it's a huge honour. It hasn't actually sunk in yet to come back 2 years in a row and to win, you know, yeah, it's going to take a few days to sink, you know.
You had three entries in the final and it was your third and final ride that got you the prize.
Yes, it's been quite a strange week. I started with 10. We bought 12 horses down and my cousin, he rode two and Bryony, my partner, rode one and then I rode an outside horse for some people down here. And then, so out of the first... out of the first 10, I got 7 double scores in the first 2 rounds, but Just Jim won the first round, and then Ransom won the second round, and then this morning I had 7 in the second round, and I kind of did some, you never rode very well, so I was glad that my good mare come through.
Can't blame yourself too much, though. It's a tough game. It's very dependent on the cattle that you're working with. They're an interesting lot today.
They were. The cattle in general have been beautiful. I mean, you know, both rounds on the first day and the second day, you needed 90 plus. And in any, you know, at any level, that's a good score. You know, once you get 90 points plus, it's a good score. So, and then today, you know, the cattle, there was patches in, but that's camp drafting. I mean, you've got to have a good horse, and you've got to be able to, ride good. But then you've got to get the right beast, and you've got to have a bit of luck on the day as well, Joe.
4 days travel to get here, a long journey, but you're used to that. That's what you do in your caper. And for a $100,000 prize check, the second year in a row you take that home, that'd be nice for the bank balance.
Yes, no, it is definitely nice. It's yeah, we had a really good trip down. This time we've had a great season at home. We've had some terrific drafting coming into it with the Australian Camp Draft National Finals at Greenvale. And then and there were magnificent cattle there. And then we come to Paradise Lagoons last weekend and had a beautiful line of cattle there as well. So, you know, I guess, the horses are fit and they're firing and you get your eye in and that sort of stuff. And when you've got good cattle too, it, makes it easier, doesn't it, you know? So, no, we're very, very, very fortunate to be at Willinga Park. We've, it's a huge honour. I mean, obviously, there'll be a lot more Queenslanders here next year. Pete Comiskey can win it 2 years in a row. I'm sure there's a lot more of those guys that think they will be older too. So this sport, the place is only going to go from strength to strength.
It was interesting, some of the outcomes today. We saw the lady rider, Kimberly Salmon, did very well, and she held the lead for a long time in the draw, and some other really exciting young riders coming through as well.
Absolutely. The sport's gone from strength to strength. I mean, you know, I can remember the days when you'd go along and there'd be 5 riders, that never had a chance, and I'm pretty sure that there was there wouldn't have been 5 riders in that final tonight, this afternoon, that couldn't have won that competition, you know. So people are getting their horses trained well. Terry's done here at Willinga Park, he's taken camp drafting to another level. So, you know, the people that are working the horses, the people that are shoeing the horses, training, breeding, you know, the sale topped at 40,000 this afternoon for a lead filly. I mean, you know, people are putting a life, they're actually making a life out of, the horse industry and the camp drafting industry right now. So what Terry's done for us is just, it's taken it to another level. And, I mean, it's somewhere where it needs to be too, don't worry. Those people, you know, for years and years now have spent 50 cents an hour. Well, I always laugh about, you know, they dedicate their life to breeding, getting the horses trained, getting them here for competition. And, you know, Terry's now made it so that you actually can get that job done and make a life out of it, that makes sense.
It's the fastest growing horse sport in Australia, and not surprisingly, I've thoroughly enjoyed being exposed to it over the past couple of days, and with the final today. It's a really enthralling sport to watch as a spectator, and for you as a rider, quite an adrenaline-loaded time that you have, not only in the cutout but out in the arena too, when it really gets to the business end of the round. What is it about camp drafting that you love so much?
There's a combination of stuff that I love about the sport. I mean, the most important thing, I guess, is the people. I'm very fortunate to go all over Australia. I do a lot of camp drafting school, you know, clinic type activities over two days, and you know, so I get to see a lot of the country. I mix with a lot of the people, but the people are very genuine. You know, people around horses are lovely people, and you know, it's something you can do as a family. You know, I mean, obviously at Willinga Park it's at the top rate of it and that sort of stuff, but you know, on a camp drafting in general as a, you know, week in week out thing, I've got a 5-year-old son that rides every weekend, and the junior, my little bride Bryony, she rides in the ladies in the other competitions, then I ride, you know, and I've got another older son that rides as well. So you know, the whole team can go along, you take your horses, and you know, it's about the horse. You've got to get your horse trained, it's about getting him fed, getting him treated, you know, like, and getting there as a family. It's something you can all do together, and it is, while you say it's fun and adrenaline, it is, it's just something like golf. It's one day it can be really good, the next day, you know, within the day, you can be really bad as well. So it's just one of those sports, and that's why, you know, people all over Australia are loving it so much, because it's so addictive. You know, like once you get that horse, it's all about the damn horse and getting there and getting the next run and getting the beast. And yeah, it's quite involved. You know, like when you go down there together and you pick out the beast, and then you've just got to chase him just at the right direction and at the right speed. And there's a hell of a lot in it, Josh. She's very addictive there.
And you experienced the highs and lows in the final with your three entries, because the first two horses you were on got what they call cracked off, for our
exactly.
audience that don't understand what that means.
Yes.
It means that you were unable to complete the course.
Exactly.
So how are you feeling going into
exactly.
your third and
That's
final opportunity?
That's where you need to be confident, I suppose. I was very lucky. I rode in on my first horse and I just might have just went a bit hard at him, you know, and the beast took off and he went a bit fast and I lost it, and then went in my next horse, and then I went a little probably hesitant, you know, like you get a little bit defensive then. And the mare that I did win on, though, she's a half-sister to the mare that won last year. She's out of the same mare, and this one's by Con Man. Obviously, the last one was by Acres Destiny. You know, so I have a lot of confidence on the mare. The steer, you know, I sort of changed my thoughts on the steer too. I took a bit faster, what I thought, a bit faster steer. I mean, obviously I needed to ride to win, so it was just lucky. And last year I was coming into the gate on Paris and I nearly left it too late, nearly missed it, and I nearly did the same thing again today. But when you do that and then you get the good gate, that was probably the clincher, if that makes sense.
It was tight too, because you won by 0.3 of a point.
Absolutely. And I mean, that's the thing about that is there's three, there's no pressure on the judges then. I mean, you know, you actually get the win, you know. So, yeah, we find that that's a very, very, the best system. You know, those three guys, three minds, they see it how they are. It's on an average. It comes down to that. I mean, if there was one guy out there giving one guy $100,000, it comes down to one opinion, but that's three opinions. So, you know, Olympic standards say that, you know, that's the safest, the fairest way, if that makes sense, Joe. Yeah.
22 national titles you've won. You have no peer in this sport, and possibly the most dominant rider in Australian camp drafting history. Do you stop and smell the roses sometimes to acknowledge your achievements?
Not too often yet, but I plan to soon. I'm, you know, obviously slowing down a lot as competition-wise. I'm trying to do more as far as, you know, the school stuff. I mean, you know, whilst the sport is growing so quickly, you've got to have the safety side of it, you know. So if you can get someone that's at the top of it like I am, I suppose, to go there for weekends, it's going to make it a lot safer place, you know, to teach people how to control the horse, how to control the beast, and how to go about it and, you know, genuinely get it, you know, make it a safer place, you know. So that's one of my goals, to do more clinics, I suppose, more, you know, what I can do. I mean, I've got a young family as well. I've got, four beautiful children. Got to spend some time with them. I've got a cattle property, a couple of thousand head of cattle on it as well, you know. So obviously we have a big operation to run, but I don't go every week now. I'm just going to go to the Willinga Parks and the Conda Mines and the Warwick Gold Cups and the Paradise Lagoons and the national finals. I'd love to support camp drafting as much, but as far as going every week, I'm just steadied up a little bit in that way, I suppose. Moving forward, question I guess you asked, do you smell the roses? We've got we try and make a bit of family time, Christmas time and that sort of thing, get away and spend a bit of time together, hey. But it's all about these damn horses, and the kids are so involved with them, and Ronnie's got a real love for the horses, as my family do too. So you know, cattle property is always something to do on it, so yeah, no, it's a busy lifestyle.
And you wife, she plays a very big role in the success story. She trains and
yes.
works a lot
yes.
of the horses and
Absolutely.
Competes on them.
And competes. Bryony's very dedicated to our operation. She's, we have obviously staff that look after her. We have a big swim set up at home where we're swimming our horses a lot to keep them for the fitness. She's into, you know, very involved in the feeding operation, the looking after, the breeding. You know, obviously we prepare horses for sale. I've got a tight schedule too as well to get away and to do clinics and all that sort of stuff. And she organises a calendar for me. Which is not that easy either, because I'm such a busy person. So, she does a huge job, and, she enjoys it very much. She loves the horses as well, so... Her parents have come from cattle property, and she's a very keen horse lady, so She's actually having a run this afternoon, so and running an 89.6 on the first day. So, yeah, no, she enjoys the home.
Yeah. What is it that gives you the edge, apart from the sheer talent that you have and the hard work you obviously put in? I mean, it is so competitive out there, and to be as dominant as you are in sport is quite remarkable.
Yeah, I guess I've been very fortunate to have good horses. Rod Carpenter, Rod Nan Carpenter from Springshaw, I've been involved with since I was about, 12-year-old, and they've got a very good bloodline of horses, I suppose, and the two mares are out of their mare, Roni's Checks, that I've, won these two world championships on. I suppose, yeah, plenty of hard work, like you said, dedication to the sport, I guess, is another thing, and then keep on turning up, and it's just one of those things, I guess, all the time. We do a lot of training with it as well, so it's like anyone as a footballer or as a tennis player or whatever. I mean, it's whatever you put into it, you get out of it, So my team put 110 into it, So I guess, to answer your question, I suppose, hard damn work, yeah. I suppose, mate. Yeah, that's about it.
So these horses that you compete on at this level, yes, are they doing much genuine cattle work back on the station?
Only turning out. We do a lot of turning out. We've obviously got big laneways set up, and those old horses will go, on light work. Mostly they'll swum, they're trotted in sand. They're, most of the work today, I would say 85% of the work is artificial today. So, but, where we can get an operation, have a nice little steady ride around the property and all that sort of stuff, they get that. But, most of our focus is getting the younger horses going and that sort of stuff, So, to answer your question, I suppose we try and do as much steady riding at home as we do. We always call it a maintenance thing, and I always say if you can't work horse 3 days a week, don't take him to the camp draft, if that makes sense, So, and I try and stick by that. I mean, the 3 out of the 4 days coming down in the afternoon, I would trot those horses. Mm. They would go in the sand and they'd get a trot around, and they've got to have a relationship with you, I suppose, and I always say to people, the only thing that I would change if I had my my career over again is I wouldn't have rode as many horses that I didn't get along with. So, I talk about a 3 months, 30 ride, whatever that period is. If I get a horse and I poke along and I don't want to ride that horse every day, I wouldn't bother. I mean, it's not to say the horse hasn't got the ability or anything like that, but there's a huge amount in a relationship with a horse, if that makes sense.
Well, clearly you've got the right relationship with Brittany, the horse you rode to victory today. It was interesting meeting up with you shortly after the presentation and being around that filly. They're quite revvy, aren't they, these horses? I mean, they are supercharged equine athletes, and it wasn't dissimilar to being next to a racehorse after it's raced.
Absolutely. She's probably, she's on the hotter side of it, though. Her mother was very, not so much hot, but she was a mare, very sensitive horse, So Paris had won last year, similar. She's by Agus Destiny. This one by Conman, so more back to the thoroughbred. So, she's more the thoroughbred type. She's very fit. Obviously, I've been up to the Gulf lately to Greenvale and then to Paradise. She won one big one and run fourth in the other one at Paradise. She's that thoroughbred-y type, fit, fast. And, I mean, that was the only thing that actually got away with it today is because she's so fast. Mm. She got that bullock was really fast and, she could get around him. And over the 4 rounds, she did that for me, so... she's been a very, very good horse to me at Greenvale the other day. It was 1 point behind, and then she won one at Paradise, and then she got a fourth in the major one there as well, so she's a consistent horse. She's 11-year-old, the right age. I suppose that's the biggest thing in camp drafting is, horses have got to come of age. They've got to be mentally strong for it, even though she's a hot mare. When she gets in there and the beast comes out and you get it on its own, she's really signs on and goes at it sort of thing, so.
The feed delivery truck's just driving past us here, Pete, and she'll be having a well-earned biscuit of hay tonight, I'm sure, and a bit more. You'll pack the truck up tonight and depart for Nebo in Queensland tomorrow. How long will it take you to get home?
4 days. Yeah, we do 8-hour days in the truck going north. So I'll sort of be Cara tomorrow night. I spend the morning with Terry Snow tomorrow and check out what he's done in the last 12 months. He takes me on tour and we poke around and, obviously looking at next year's program and what's going to make it better and all that sort of stuff. So fantastic team here at Willinga Park. So I poke along there for half a day. I'll go to Cara tomorrow night and then I'll be somewhere like Tamworth on, Monday night, and then Taroom in Queensland Tuesday night, and Nebo Wednesday night. Hopefully that's the plan at this stage anyway.
How many miles do you reckon you clock up every year? Too many to count, probably.
35,000.
All right.
Yes, no, 30 to 35,000. The truck now is exactly 12 months old and it's done 30,000, so that's about what we do. Yeah, I suppose steadying up a little bit on the camp drafting and more aeroplane, you know, to the clinics and that sort of stuff, steadied up a bit. I used to do 35 camp drafts one time, so that's sort of steadied back to about 15, I suppose. But, we still really enjoy as a family to get away. My parents are here. They've come down from Capella. And then Bryony's folks are here as well. They've come from Barabra, New South Wales. Quite a family type event, you know. My brother's at Dingo and he's had an injury. He's hurt his hand bad. And, so he couldn't make the trip down this year, but he will be down there next year.
Really lovely to meet you. Congratulations on your success again in this event today. It's wonderful to see what Terry Snow is doing for this sport, and athletes and riders like you are really helping to profile the sport as well. It's no surprise it's growing at the rate it is.
Yes, no, it's a fantastic sport. Thank you very much for having us here, and we'll definitely look forward to catching up next year.
Safe travels all the way home.
Thank you very much.